Praise the Lord. We have heard a wonderful psalm. And we were touched by it. While I hear, I think already on some other scriptures. You all know, every word of God is connected with the other. The one completes the other, brings light to the other, shows the connections for which we are very thankful. Which psalm did you read, Brother Rus? 143, Psalms 143. And then we still go to the New Testament, where I don't know yet, but God knows it. It's so nice if one can come in such a way, without program, to know in the presence of God we feel well. And I believe we've been blessed already. Blessed being aware of that we have been pardoned by God to hear His word in these days. Everything what was hidden was revealed. That what could not be understood can be understood today. What could not be seen can be seen today. Paul has still written, "For now we see through a glass darkly and don't see yet as we should see." And then he writes, "When the perfect has come, then the patchwork will stop." I want to say one thing. We wait, on one hand, for the perfect that will still come, namely, for the total completion, the redemption included, the changing of our body, the being taken up, the meeting with the Lord, and all what goes with it. On the other hand, we dare to say by faith that the Lord has revealed His word totally to us. It's no patchwork anymore. No more read here a bit and read there a bit and here a little and there a little. But as it is written, revealed by the Holy Spirit, from clarity to clarity, we have been led. Lord, hear my prayer. Question, what is your prayer? What is my prayer? What is upon your heart? What is upon my heart? For what are we praying for? For 100 things that are blurred? Or for one thing that is upon our heart? Here we are told, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness." I remember here someone who prayed in the Old Testament. It is no one less than the prophet Daniel, who prayed for the house of God, for the people of God, for everything concerning God and concerning the people of Israel. This he included in his prayer in the presence of God. And you all know what is written. Somewhere we will find it. There it says, when you began to pray, who found the scripture? Where is it written? When you began to pray, I came to you. Somewhere it should be written. Maybe chapter 8. Today we will have a Bible class. 9. All right, I'm looking on it. I should have actually seen it. 9. Let me read from verse 20. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me, and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Hallelujah. Praise God. When you began to pray, for what was he praying? For the mountain of my God. What was it? God had chosen special places. He had chosen Jerusalem, Mount Zion. That is a part of Jerusalem. Just like the Mount of Olives is also a part of Jerusalem. With a difference, the one is to the north and the other probably to the south. But it just belongs to Jerusalem. Daniel not only prayed, the matter of God, the people of God, the city of God, everything concerning God laid upon his heart. And for this he prayed, and therefore God heard him. We can have thousands lists of wishes and read this list to the Lord of all what he shall do, and marvel that he doesn't answer us. I believe if we take this prayer to heart and pray in the same spirit, Lord, thy people, thy word, thy matter is upon our hearts. This we bring to you. With this we come into thy holy presence, regardless how it is going with us. Daniel did not pray, Lord, let me not be thrown a second time to the lions, or keep me from all the trials that could come. He has forgotten himself. He was so connected with the matter of God that he could forget himself. What shall we say to it? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh in prayer. And here we have a prayer after the heart of God, that the Lord even sent the angel Gabriel to give information. And it says here, while I was speaking in prayer, he was not even finished. He didn't even say Amen, but God said Amen. God already said Amen in the midst of the prayer. So be it. Amen. God acted already while he was still praying. Because God saw the end before the beginning and in the midst, he knew what it is about. We have reached the moment where we have to put away the foolishness of man, our own foolishness, the foolishness in the religious realm, in the message realm, of all what is being done there. We have to leave them right and left to only concentrate on that that was given to us by God, namely to accomplish what has to be accomplished by the proclamation of the revealed word and to carry it until the ends of the earth. And this we say, as Paul said, pray for me, pray for us, so that it is given to us to proclaim the mystery of God, for which cause I am in chains. It might be true that we sometimes by circumstances are like bound, but this one thing I tell you, the revelation of Jesus Christ, no one can bind, no one can put it into chains anymore. What God has done was done in liberty and has delivered all who were in captivity. What did Paul say in this connection? I am bound, but the word is not bound. The word is and remains free. It makes free. It makes free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Let us keep it this way, brothers and sisters, dear friends, that we together, the matter of God, that we have it so much on our hearts, that it is our main concern in prayer. I know, we all have certain things which we bring to the Lord in prayer. No one can acquit himself from this. We are humans, and troubles are here more than we like. But if we also in this point take the word to heart, seek ye first for the kingdom of God and for its righteousness, then everything else will be added to you. Then I believe if we lay the matter of God in prayer as the first thing before God, then also all the other petitions will be answered. And when God can put his matter with us in his kingdom into an order, then he will also bring everything else into an order with us. Amen. Just putting the matter of God as the first thing. Wonderful is also the statement. He wanted to give me information and addressed me with the words, Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. The word understanding. Luke 24. There walked two disciples and talked with one another. And they asked the stranger, are you the only one who does not know what happened in these days? And then he began to speak, and their hearts began to burn. And then he opened unto them the understanding for the scripture, so that everything became clear to them, what he spoke of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. Everything became clear to them. And in the whole elaboration, I don't find one single question. Amen. Not one single question was asked when the Lord began with Moses and the Psalms and all the prophets. He told them everything what happened at that time. Not one question, not one interruption. When the Lord speaks, no questions are asked. There the questions are answered. They are all answered according to the scripture. And this is wonderful. Right in this message, there are so many people who have questions. And those who ask the questions, they are mostly, please forgive me this remark, those who ask questions are mostly intelligent people, but the questions that I asked are sometimes very foolish. I say once again, there where the Lord speaks, no foolish questions are asked anymore. There all questions are answered by the Word of God. And then we are all taught by God. Then nobody needs to say to the other, did you understand it? Then we did understand it, because the Lord has spoken with us. Can we testify of this out of experience? When the Lord began to speak with us, this was the beginning of answering of questions, or not? And just be also thankful in this. Has God not answered us many, to not say all questions that are necessary for our salvation? If somebody still comes to you and asks, where did Cain get his wife from? He was just not attentive. He was not there when the Lord spoke. Such questions are not asked then anymore. No, whoever reads the Bible can find also there the answer. But now we will not go into detail of this. Here we read quickly in verse 23, maybe also the last part of verse 22, to give thee skill and understanding. To give thee the right understanding. I want to understand God in that what He said and in that what He's doing in the right way. You also? And to this, as the Lord here sent Gabriel to Daniel, and Daniel then received the task to write. And then later on we read again in chapter 12, verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. The revelation was closed up and sealed until the end time. We live in the end time. It was revealed. God has given to His servant and prophet understanding about it. And may the Lord correct me before all of you on that day. But when I read the Holy Scripture, then I find the task of two archangels, Michael and Gabriel. They are very different and classified. Michael, the man for Israel, the man who fights battles and so forth. But Gabriel, that man who was sent, who gave information, he came to Zacharias, he came to Mary, he came to Daniel, a man connected with a word that had to be said, or what had to be announced or promised. I know that Brother Branham, every time he said it in his testimony, maybe not every time, he used the term over and again, I made it up to myself to ask the angel who comes to me what his name is, over and again. And then he said, the next time, he said, I could again not do it, for the holiness of God and the reverence of the Lord was so mighty that I couldn't ask. I just listened what he had to say. It was reverence. It was holiness. A man cannot do what he likes, not in the presence of God. Outside the presence of God, this we experienced ourselves, and many others also. Everyone says what he likes. But in the presence of God, this I say to you today, there it stops, with all knowing and with all saying. I remember here a simple but a very touching experience. On the 3rd of December 1962, you all know, I told it to you, and as you know me, I have some characteristics, and one is I am very fast at the trigger. Patience is not my strength. And when Brother Branham spoke of German prisoners of war and so forth, to whom he gave testimony, I was absolutely not interested in it. On the contrary, I got more and more nervous. I actually interrupted him. I just said, Brother Branham, I want to ask you something. But from that moment on, when he began to speak, I could not ask any question anymore, and I didn't say one more word. He came to the end, and everything was at the end. Before that, I had who knows how many things to ask or to say. It was finished. Nothing anymore. Absolute nothing. That's how I sat there, and I just listened what he said. And I believe God has led it in such a way. God has to lead it in such a way, because just imagine, a prophet of God sees a vision and speaks under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and there would be some kind of nervous man who doesn't have his patience under control and interrupts by questioning, what would that be? For me, it was a very tremendous lesson. Even when he was finished, I could not ask or say anything. I sat there, overwhelmed, touched. It went through my marrow and bone. And when he then even said, Brother Frank, about the journey of Paul to Jerusalem, you don't have to worry. It was in the will of God. There I really felt like I was hit with a big hammer. Because on that day, I didn't think about this. Earlier, many times, here, Brother Russ, Brother Schmidt, all who are here since many years, many know it. I couldn't cope with it. Every time when I read the book of Acts, and the brothers, especially James, they persuaded the dear Paul, and they said, all the people speak of it, that you turned your back to Judaism, and you are preaching the falling away from Moses. Make a vow, take some with you, pay for the purification, go into the temple, shave yourself, and so forth. This man preached for so many years. To be circumcised is nothing, and to be uncircumcised also not, but a new creature in Christ. And here he comes after so many years to Jerusalem and lets himself be pushed into it, into a thing after the law, as if he is still under the law. Every time when I read this, I shook my head and I just said, Paul, when I will be up there and meet you, then I will ask you why you have done this. Yes. And here, a prophet of God sits opposite me, who suddenly said by revelation about the journey of Paul, don't worry. It was in the will of God. God can take secret and hidden things out from the past. Then one sits there and thinks, oh God, before you, every man is like an open book. And whoever reads on there in the book of Acts, it says, and after this, the doors of the temple were closed. That was the point. It was high time that that thing is closed, because God started something new. Everything had its purpose. But if we, as people, think and judge humanly, how far do we get there? Also there, I didn't ask, when Brother Branham told me, wait, with the giving out, until you get the rest of the food. I didn't ask anything. I didn't understand it. I didn't say one word. I could not ask. It was impossible. Even though I would have tried, it was not possible. In the presence of God, the Lord speaks, and you and I hear, according to the scripture, speak, your servant hears. This is the big difference. There are many who say, oh, I've spoken and spoken. Yes, but then God didn't speak. When He speaks, then we listen. And if we listen properly, although we didn't understand everything fully what He said, you will understand it later on. If we listen carefully and believe what the Lord said, then the moment comes that we will understand, and clarity will be given to us by the Lord. I read on here about the 70 weeks of Daniel. They are so crystal clear for a man to whom it has become clear. I have, when our brothers recently from a country were here, the one said this, the other that. I said, brothers, it is better we pray, instead that each one sets forth his view. Because it says in Philippians, if someone is of a different opinion, so let God reveal it to him. But there are certain key words which then give the access and open up the overall context by His grace. We don't go into detail. We come to the end. It says here, I repeat myself, verse 23, at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. You all know, when this greatly beloved man told Nebuchadnezzar Not that in me is more wisdom than in any other man, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. This was his answer. Not I'm more wise than all the soothsayers and fortune tellers, but he could say, there is a God in heaven who unveils all this. I read it to you so that you know that it's written. Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 2. I read for the context sake from 26 to 28. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof? You see what it was about? It was about two things. He should tell the dream and then give the interpretation. The soothsayers, they were cunning guys. They said to him, tell us the dream and then we give you the interpretation. And the king thought by himself, ye cunning rascals, not with me. Tell me first the dream that I had. Tell it to me, and then give me the interpretation. And then they said, the king requires a thing, this cannot be in heaven nor on earth. He said, all right, then go your way. And then he came to Daniel, and also to him he said, I read it again. Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Both. First telling the dream, he said, this you have seen, these pictures, or this was shown to you, and then the interpretation. It continues in verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. Amen. They can chat and they can see bright and dark. But divine things, no one of them could set forth. They want to read your handlines to destroy you. But here the lines of the word, they cannot read. Then it says, but there is a God in heaven. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There is a God in heaven. You all know, heaven seems to be far away. They try to calculate it. But for the believers, it is not so far. They have the connection that bridges the time by the faith in the Lord of heaven and earth. He is not only a God who is afar off, but also a God who is near. But there is a God in heaven. He didn't say, I'm the prophet in the country. I wait here now, like Balaam has said. Stay overnight here, and I will ask God. No, he said here, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. You see what it is about? End time. It was the beginning of the heathen kingdoms. And at the beginning of the heathen kingdoms, God revealed what will be at the end of the heathen kingdoms. Who knows the sermon of Brother Branham, Handwriting on the Wall? There, Brother Branham speaks of the beginning of the heathen kingdoms and of their end. But there is a God in heaven, hallelujah, and He is still alive. I said it here recently, the gall came up in me, when at that time the movement was, God is dead, God is dead. You all remember it some years ago. Oh, many things came up in me. And I thought by myself, could we once more experience a movement, God is alive, He's alive. A movement, God is alive. And that we can say, like Ter Stegen said, He lives, and with Him also I. Oh, death, where's your sting? And that we not only say He's alive, that He lives with us, in us, that He not only is at work, but that He works in us and through us, that divine reality can be manifested here on earth. How many want to experience a movement, God is alive? Oh yes, a God lives movement. This shall be the last movement. It continues here. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O King, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? Do you see what it is about? He not only told him the pictures which appeared in his dream, the thoughts which he had earlier, these he made known to him. Does God not know the hearts and the thoughts? Were not the people's thoughts revealed to the Lord? And did the angel not say to Brother Branham that the thoughts of the people speak louder in heaven than the words on earth? Thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? Don't we sometimes have such thoughts? The God of Daniel is our God. How many can believe that God also in our midst can let the same spirit of revelation be at work so that these divine thoughts can be revealed? The other thoughts which come up, these we don't want to get revealed at all, because they don't help anyone. But thoughts of God, thoughts about the matter of God, that's what's all about. And they should be revealed. If somebody has thoughts here, Lord, how shall it go on? What will you do next? And so forth. What kind of thoughts come up in us? And if then suddenly somebody would come on the scene and say, Brother Schmidt, but that's not the way the Lord speaks. That's how people speak who give their own prophecies. You know this very well. The Spirit of God would never address someone with brother or sister. But I give this now just for an example. The thoughts came up in you. You were thinking about in what kind of way the work of God should be continued. And then the answer would come. He would jump like a deer. And do you know what we also would do? Also, all of us, we would jump like deers. We would rejoice that the living God is in our midst. Who can believe that God can meet us in such a way? Who can believe that the Spirit of God can start to work in a supernatural way? Not only to Nebuchadnezzar, this uncircumcised heathen, not only to him came the thoughts, what should happen in the future or in the end time. We live now in the end time. Some divine thoughts come up in us, how things should go on. And suddenly, we hear then, by the answer of God, what shall take place. Also this thought I want to read now, and then we come to a close. As for thee, O King, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But he didn't know anything. He just had a dream, not more. It first had to be interpreted. Verse 30. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Whoever then reads on will find many things. Of the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands. Whoever reads on will find out that to this Nebuchadnezzar a heart of man was taken from him, and the heart of a beast was given to him for exactly 7 years. Whoever reads on will have information about that what shall happen in the end time. What was it? God used a heathen king, heathen kingdoms. At that time, at the beginning, how they came up. And then later, it was made known what would happen at the end of days. What shall we say? I think here's a thanksgiving prayer. This will be good. And then, yes, let me read it to the end, verse 19. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. I read Daniel 9, verse 17, Brother Kupfer. And now, verse 18 in Daniel 9. Verse 18. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, hearken and do, defer not, for thine own sake, O my God. For thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Here the one word is written. That is written in Revelation 10, verse 7. The word delay. And here it says, and do defer not for thine own sake. And there it says, there will be no more delay. No postponing. The things which God announced, that he revealed, will take place. I believe that we live in this time. Let us therein look to the Lord, and let us know that we have to count with more attacks, with more difficulties, but also with a deeper insight in the Spirit, into the Word, into the power, into the presence of God. The one goes together with the other. I had a bit of time during the day, and I read the prophet Isaiah from chapter 40 to 66 in the English Bible, and I followed up the thoughts that were revealed there. What a fullness of gospel thoughts! How did God reveal things to this man? Just so wonderful and glorious. And I believe that we live in this time in which all things were revealed. But it's not just enough that it was revealed to a Daniel or to an Isaiah or to Brother Branham or to Paul, but that it's revealed to you and to me. Let us bring it in a couple of sentences on one denominator and let us summarize it. Tonight, it was about the sincere prayer, about the matter of God, about the people of God, about the city of God, and about everything what is called by His name. Here we read it, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Oh, how could we go here to Revelation 19 and Revelation 21, there the marriage supper, and there, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he saw the holy city coming down from God, adorned as a bride. Everything in such a wonderful harmony. His people are called by His name, carries His word, carriers of His grace and of His mercy. Everything what God has given us, we received thankfully. Let us carry it. But as the main thing, let us take from this sermon today that there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, who everything what was shown in the Old and New Testament, that He's able to reveal it. What wise men and scribes cannot know and cannot interpret, this God reveals. Because with Him is clarity, and with them who received it from Him. And then whoever wants to glory, let him glory in the Lord. We have much reason to thank our God. Let us bring our own needs and concerns and petitions to the Lord as well. But let us begin to put the matter of God first and say, Lord, today it's about the matter which you do now, about your promised word for this time, about your people, about the calling out of your church, about the preparation of the bride. Lord, help us. We pray for it. And then we most certainly by faith, we can humbly add that no one will be missing of those whom you entrusted to me. And the Lord will look down graciously and He will see that His matter is on our hearts. And then He will lead His and our cause. And no one will come too short. All will thank God. Shall we do it in this way? There is a God in heaven. A God in heaven, not more than one, but one is there. And this God lives. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The living God. And how do we long for that we hear and see a sign of life of Him, that we may experience it, that also we, as mentioned earlier, the movements were made, God is dead, that we could make movements with a headline, God lives. Come, God lives. Amen. Shall we dare to believe the Lord that He will once more shake the heavens and the earth? Not we, but He will. But our task is to believe that He will do it. And that also we are a bit moved. We must be moved. The last thought, one doesn't have to always look on the watch. When Daniel, you know, the others should be killed, if you don't let me know these things, then you will die. And Daniel came to his three friends and says, pray with me. You have heard what the king announced. Whoever cannot tell him, he will die. And then came the answer. It was a situation which didn't look very nice. But right in this affliction, one can seek the presence of God with all might and find it, and then say, there is a God in heaven, even today, a God in heaven who reveals secrets, a God in heaven who speaks on earth, who works on earth, and who is amidst His church. I don't say this now for entertainment, but a German-American, many years ago, he preached here, still on the Fasan Street, and the English word still means still. This means God is still in His church. And this poor man, who can speak German fluently, he preached very mightily and loudly. God is still in His church. And you can imagine. And all the others said, yes, God is still in His church. All of us. I thought, hopefully you will say something else, that it can also be loud in His church. But, and he couldn't even speak English well. And then he said, instead of still, quiet. And all the people were very sad. But when we then made it clear, they got happy again that God is not silent in His church, but that He is alive, that He works, and that He speaks. Do you all believe it? With all our hearts, we believe it. And we walk forward with the Lord. Amen.